along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts rubbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, cheer up the sound.
The Red Robin Podcast is powered by Budget Tires Auto Centre, the only car specialist trusted by supporters, players and club officials. Head down to Leeds Road and check them out for all your motoring needs. Robins are just one game away from securing a playoff spot after a hard-fought victory over the Huddersfield Giants. Salford are up next on their harbour, their own playoff ambitions, which means Willie Peters' troops are going to be in for one hell of a battle come 7:30pm on Saturday. This week, I'm delighted to be joined by Scott Solway and Carl Smith, as we look forward to our round 16 encounter with the Red Devils, and we look back at our Giant victory. I'm also joined by Adj Cutler after news broke earlier this week that the official Rover supporters group is set to be disbanded. And that's not all. I'm also joined by Rugby League reporter Jenna Brooks as the Sky Sports cameras prepare to roll into East Hull, ready for Saturday night's game under the lights. Scott, it's been a while since you've been on, mate. How have you been keeping?
Yeah, all good, John. No, not bad at all. Been there roaming away watching the red and white, so we've been doing okay, haven't we? Not too bad.
We've been bubbling along nicely, especially after the heartache of the Challenge Cup final defeat. We've responded really well. Carl, have you managed to sort out your technical problems yet?
I'm halfway through, but I can hear you better than I was 10 minutes ago, mate.
Right, I'll go back to you then, Scott. Scott, obviously the Huddersfield game, 26 points to 18 victors, the Robins was 14-6 up at half time. For me, it was a satisfying victory, and that was able to grind it out. And I don't think it was the prettiest of games, but it was definitely effective. And the Robins again showed a different way of how to win a game.
Yeah, I think so. As you mentioned, not the prettiest of games. There was a lot of errors in the game, I think, from both teams. It was a very warm night. I guess the ball is like a bit of a bar of soap. Even though it wasn't a wet, rainy night, I guess with all the sweat off the players and the hands that was putting, the ball became a bar of soap. Both teams made a lot of errors. But Rovers ground it out. We found a way again, which we've been doing quite regularly recently. We kept sort of letting Huddersfield a peg back up into the game, didn't we? Certainly second half. I kept thinking that Huddersfield were going to eventually score again. It was a game where I thought we won it three times. We could nearly have lost it three times as well. But somehow we found a way to dig it out, to grind the win. And that's all key at the moment. We found a way out. We always found a way to try and win a game. And we seem to be doing it well.
Yeah, Carl, considering Huddersfield didn't have much to play for, it was them who came out fastest, wasn't it, from the kickoff, and we saw some uncharacteristic defending from Sean Kennedy-Dowell from the Huddersfield scrum, out of position, and Will Price goes right in behind Sean Kennedy-Dowell and has a run at the try line and scores a half decent try, puts them in the lead. But the Rovers responded well, didn't they? 23 minutes though it took for Sean Kennedy-Dowell to redeem himself and go over for his own try of the game. I mean, he brushed off two defenders like they wasn't there and went over for an easy try in the end. And you started to get a sense that once the Robins got on the try, got on the score sheet, and they got more of a foothold in the game, that there was definitely more to come from them last Friday night.
Yeah, most definitely, Chris. I think Rovers did start fairly slow, to be fair, but that you alluded to a second ago, I think there was some sloppy defending on that edge of the field early. You know, that cost us a try. But yeah, he redeemed himself. And after the first 20 minutes or so, I think Rovers got into a bit of a groove. And then, you know, like Scott said, we give them the ball back, they give us the ball back, we give it them back, they give us it back. And in the end, I think it was just a case of keeping yourself in front of them on the scoreboard. And ultimately, the back end of the game, we'll just feel just a, you know, a stone's throw away, but far away enough for us to get the result.
Yeah, 9 minutes later, Scott. This new rampaging second row we've got goes over for a try. I think he runs what, 18 meters. Jordan Abdul.
Yeah.
No, I mean he was. Willie Peters said about putting him possibly in the forwards, and there he was. He probably didn't expect to score, but I mean he showed his power, didn't he, and his intent when he did go over for that try.
It's a bit of a unit, Jordan, as well. I mean, he's a big kid, you know, for a halfback. You know, many fans have said, can he play loose forward? Can he play the second row? I think Willie said in a in a report that when you mentioned Sports Hall Daily Mail the other night, you know, he said he can play 7, he can play 13. So whether Willie sees him playing there, especially with Schneider and Lewis, I think at the moment they're the first choice halfbacks. I don't really see Jordan getting in ahead of Schneider or Lewis. So I think Jordan at the moment is going to be coming off the bench. But if he's got that impact coming off the bench and he can, you know, go from the scrum and smash his way over for a few tries, we'll take that all day long. Fair play to him.
What was interesting for me as well, Scott, is the defender we barged past to go over for the trial was Chris McQueen, who's not a small bloke himself. So he showed his power there. For me, that's when the tide really started to turn, because it was two tries. Huddersfield didn't get on the score sheet again until the 57th minute. In between there, Kane Lynette goes over for an easy try, really ghosts over from, 10 metres out. Just before half-time, we saw Jake Connor, the mercurial Jake Connor, as many will tell you. Well, I didn't see that on Friday night, but Jake Connor and Senior both got the marching orders for 10 minutes. And to be fair, it didn't really have too much of a bearing on the game, I don't think. And yeah, it was Kane Lynette who goes in for next try. Three unanswered tries, Scott, I think that's what sealed the victory for the Robins in the end.
We defended our line really well. Huddersfield had a bit of ball second half, and they put a bit of pressure on us, but we stood up to anything that they threw at us. And then when we did get a chance at their end, we came away with points. It's probably the perfect away performance, if we're being honest. You know, every time we were in their 20, as I say, we come away with points. And when they were in our 20, yeah, they scored a couple of tries, but we defended our line well. Probably, as I say, the perfect away performance. And you get in there, you take the 2 points and you get out, and that's what we did.
Yeah. Louis Senior, Carly scores the final try of the night for the Robins. An outrageous finish, wasn't it? Out in the corner. We had a perfect view of it, didn't we? Right down the line on it. It was a fantastic finish. But there's some real neat build-up play from Schneider as well, weren't they, for the assist. For those who don't know, Snyder's family were over for the game. They were celebrating like mad down at the end of the game. They were having pictures to take, everything. And Schneider, I mean, he's definitely somebody who's took the Robins to his heart, hasn't he? And he's hit the ground running.
Yeah, most definitely. I think it's been a good fit for the club and for Brad in terms of where he's at in his career. So I think, you know, he's played in some big games. He's got some good experience coming over here. It was good to see his parents there, wasn't it? You know, Mr. Kennedy playing camera guy and all that type of stuff. It's all part of the camaraderie, isn't it? And it's all part of the, you know, would you say the team camaraderie and the banter and everything that comes along being involved in the team. So it was great to see. And long may it continue while he's at the Robins. And also, you know, Penrith has snatched him up for next season. So that tells you all you need to know in terms of his potential, because, you know, Penrith, best team in the world, best team in the NRL for the last couple of years. So, you know, they're not just going to sign anybody willy-nilly, are they?
No, and he's got some competition to get a starting spot there as well, hasn't he? So it's going to be a good move for him, though, no doubt. And you know, I predict he's going to be a future NRL star. Scott, 74th minute, Huddersfield going for a try. Was you getting a little bit nervous at that point? Because I must admit, when they went in for that try and there was only 6 points behind with, 6 minutes to go, it looked a little bit nervy for me. But then Schneider hits the penalty, doesn't he? Puts us 8 points in front and you know, c'est la vie.
I think on the night, we were the better team. I really do think we were the better team and we deserved to win. But it got a bit squeaky bum time towards the end when there's only 6 points in it. I think when Halsall scored in the corner and Connor took the goal kick really quickly, I'm thinking, hey, well, if he misses this, there's still 8 points. But he nailed it, didn't he, right on the touchline? And then you're thinking to yourself, right, if Huddersfield come at us now, they're going to throw everything like the kitchen sink at us. But to be fair, we stood firm and, you know, we are a different bag now in regards to defending our line. As I say, yeah, we conceded a couple of tries in the second half, but I don't think the result was really in any doubt. I never really thought we were going to lose the game at any point, even though they got close to us. I still think we'd always come out on top, and it proved that we did.
Yeah, and what was really pleasing as well, and you've talked a lot about defence, Scott, is our two leading defenders were missing, Minchella and Batchelor, our two top tacklers. You know, I admit I feared the worst a little bit when them two were going to be missing from the side, because I wondered how would we counter their absence. I mean, we countered it with Dean Hadley, 41 tackles he made. He did 17 carries. He got through an absolute abundance of work. And we didn't seem, as daft as it sounds, Scott, we didn't look like we missed Batchelor and Mincelli. Yeah, the performance could have been better. It wasn't perfect, but we counted their absence very well, I thought.
We did, and when you throw into the equation that we lost Jimmy as well early in the first half, who was replacing Batch, there was a bit of a shuffle had to go on as well. So in theory, we were three forwards, like, weren't we? You know, in the second half especially, you know. So we still found a way to win. But when you're missing players like Batch and Mini, it's going to have an adverse effect on your team, on your defence. As you say, the two top tacklers, in the squad. But other players stood up, Dino especially. I thought he had a great game, did Dino, and I can see why Willie really, really likes him. And I think he'll always be in Willie's 17 every single week. He might start off the bench. I think Mini will always start, but I think Willie really, really likes Dino, just because of the work rate and all the gritty stuff that he does around the ruck and all the stuff that a lot of players don't want to do. Dino will do all that for you all day long, and I think that's why Willie likes him.
Which does raise some questions about the squad selection for Salford, doesn't it? But we'll come on to that a bit later on. On selections, Carl, I mean, some people were surprised to see Jordan Abdul in the side against Huddersfield. Some people were desperate to see him in the side. I suppose one player people might not have expected to see was Jimmy Kynhorst lining up in the second row.
No, I agree. Excuse me. I thought myself the same, really. But like Scott's just said, he's very, very similar to Dino, isn't he, in terms of doing the stuff that, you know, not necessarily everybody wants to do. Sticks his head in the way, sticks his body on the line, especially in defence, and he makes them big carries, doesn't he? So he's got a very similar utility factor that Dean Hadley has, hasn't he? So when you've got the likes of Minicella missing and Batch missing, you know, that those two guys can step in, can't they? So it probably was a surprise to a lot of people that he was in the squad, but not to me, because, you know, he's Mr. Consistent and he's going to do you a job.
Hey, get this, Scott. Jimmy Kynhorst, he's only 28. I can't believe it.
He's been around forever, hasn't he?
Been there forever, yeah. I could not believe that. That's just by chance, saw his date of birth and 28. And he is one of the players who's leaving at the end of the season. I mean, he's got fantastic utility value, and I think William Peters told him early on that he wouldn't be in his plans for next season. It is intriguing to see who else we might bring in terms of English, British talent, which is probably why, you know, Jimmy Kynhorst is going. It surprised me that Louis Johnson didn't feature in the second row. I thought after we brought him back from Cass and he's had a smattering games, he might have been a shoe-on into that second row. But for me, it looks like he's probably played his last game in the red and white of Wilkinson Rovers, depending on what happens on Saturday. And he's not included in the 21-man squad for the Salford game. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. But like you said, Scott, overall, I think it was quite a professional performance. It was a good away performance. And let's be honest, Huddersfield's not been a happy hunting ground for us over the last few years, has it? You have to go a few years back to when we got our victory there. So, yeah, it was a very welcome performance. And what an impact the crowd had as well, Scott. The Rover support was magnificent. I didn't expect us to be turning out in the numbers what we did there.
Phenomenal turnout for a Friday night. And the M62 was its usual disastrous self again, wasn't it? You know, so I went in back way with past Emily Moore, came and dropped into Huddersfield through the back. I just thought, I can't sit on the M62. So the turnout was quite phenomenal, really. Somebody asked me, what does that away end hold? And I'm sure that in regards to football, I think it's about just over 2,500. Well, there wasn't 500 empty seats, without a doubt. So I'm looking, I think we had at least 2,000 fans there on Friday night, which I know people have been saying 1,500, 1,700. I'm probably looking at more like 2,000, which is an unbelievable following for a Friday night game of rugby. As I say, when the roads are not great to get to your destination either.
Well, never mind getting there, Scott, getting home. Who decides to close the M62 and then use the M1? M18 as a diversion, the M180, and then charges to go over the Humber Bridge as well.
You just reminded me there. I've not paid my toll.
Oh, no.
It's probably 15 quid for me now.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, so, sorry to be the bearer of bad news for you there, Scott. That reminds me, Carl, did you get sorted?
Yes. Well, obviously, I have a tag for my work vehicle, and the missus has a tag for the car. So luckily, there was some on the account. So I had no fine coming my way. But Steve makes a good point in terms of the support, though, because when we was at the RSG Awards the other night, Chris, they had Brad Snyder up on the stage, didn't they? And he couldn't believe that Rovers was the away team. You know, he's only been in the country a couple of months, and he was absolutely flabbergasted by the support. You know, Huddersfield hadn't got a great fan base, but he couldn't believe that Rovers was the away team. So I think that shows you know, the backing and the support that the Rovers play is getting. The new lads that have come in, they've really stuck to it. And like you say, it shocked them a little bit, but we know, as Robins for life, you know, that's the spot we get all the time, isn't it? So it's great to see it again.
Yeah, Ryan Hall, once again, top meter maker, 170 metres, average gain, 9 metres. I mean, phenomenal effort from him. One player, Scott, who stood out for me over the last three games is Kane Lynette. And he came in for a bit of flack, I think, in the middle part of the season, people questioning whether it's, you know, one season too many, whether he's showing his age, etc. Well, he's come back with a bang for me, and his consistency and his level of performance seems to have stepped up a gear when we've got to the business end of the season.
Yeah, a highly experienced player as well. And I think he did get a little bit of stick. It's certainly during, as I said, around the middle of the season. But unless you read his stats, you don't actually realise how many tackles he gets through, how many carries he takes in as well. And I think sometimes you might only see Kane Lynette making maybe 5 or 6 metres on a carry, but it's what he sets up for the next player. You know, he's very, very clever at sort of landing on his knees and elbows. You never see him dominated in the tackle. He generally always landing gear first, and again, he then gets the next playoff really quickly, and he's very, very good at that, and he's vastly experienced. Yeah, I mean, he might have lost a yard of pace with his age now, but his experience and his quality on the ball and off the ball can never be doubted. Great player.
I think also, Chris, as well, I think what a lot of people go miss by saying as well, and obviously, but when he comes back on that angle close to the try line, there's not a better second rower in the Super League, in my opinion. So when he comes back on that angle, close to that line, there's only one outcome, and I think that needs to be highlighted more with Kane.
Yeah, it's a well-worn path for him. And Kane Lynette is actually our fair top try scorer this season.
That's what I say, it goes under the radar.
11 tries, you've got Ryan Hall and Mikey Lewis joint on 12. You've got Kane Lynette with 11, you've got Sean Kennedy-Dowell with 10. I mean, that, for me, just highlights that left edge. I know Mikey Lewis started over on the right at the start of the season, but he switched over to the left, and I tell you what, I think then that stat there alone tells you how important that left edge is for us in terms of points being scored. Kane Lynette's best try scoring season was 2021. He scored 13 tries, so he's only got two more to level that, three more to beat it. Clint Newton back in 2009, I think he scored 15 tries, which is the most a second rower has scored for the Robins. So he's only, what, 4 tries off levelling that, which would be some achievement. And hopefully you will see him go over the whitewash on Saturday against Salford. But yeah, he's just one player I think really come to the fore over the last few weeks, especially after the Challenge Cup final defeat. We move on, don't we? Salford on Saturday, which is going to be a huge game for the Robins. It is on Sky TV. It's going to be under the floodlights. It promises to be a really exciting encounter. I caught with Jenna Brooks earlier today, as she chatted to me about what we can expect on Saturday night. You're back on the Red Robin podcast. I know you've been on a few times now, so it's always great to hear from you. And of course, people will be familiar seeing you on our screens on Sky Sports News and Sky Sports Rugby League. And a belated congratulations as well. I think your second son was born not too long ago, but he's been seen at a few Super League grounds as well. How's everything going for you at the moment?
Yeah, really good. I'm living on coffee, a lot of coffee at the minute, and no sleep. But yeah, it's been really good. He was born at the end of April. He came a little bit earlier than expected, and my mum was over, so we called ourselves the Travelling Circus. We were at a number of the games. Didn't get to hold KR with the baby, but yeah, I was at a number of the games with him and my mum. And yeah, he's now at home though. He's not coming to games. It just got a little bit challenging, you know what I mean? But no, thank you very much. It's been a long season. I mean, started, had a baby, I'm now already back at work, and it's still the regular season. I know we've only got two rounds to go, but yeah, it's been a long season.
Yeah, well, I've got two boys, a 7 year old and a 2 year old, and it does get easier-ish.
Right, thanks.
Yeah, but lots of fun. And I think you're right, it does feel like a bit of a long season. I think the Rugby League World Cup finishing, obviously, when it did, and then we had quite a quick pre-season, didn't we, it felt like, and it does feel like a long season now. But we're getting into the business end, aren't we? And you're going to be there with the Sky Sports cameras on Saturday night for what is going to be a really, really interesting encounter with the Red Devils.
Yeah, it's got to be the match of the round for me, definitely. I mean, I think, well, it's kind of a knockout fixture, really. I know if Salford or Hull KR lose, that there is that opportunity for them to still sneak into that six. But I think they've got to go into it thinking it's knockout rugby league. And I suppose just on that, Hull KR, given their success that they had in the Challenge Cup this year, you've got to think that they're probably going in as the form team. But it's massive. It's definitely the biggest game of the round for me, and I can't wait.
Yeah, and it does feel like a knockout game. We were talking very briefly before we started recording this about Willie Peters and him being in the conversation for coach of the year, and I think securing a playoff spot and hopefully doing well in the playoffs would definitely propel himself into the top bracket of coach of the year. I mean, have you been surprised by how well he seems to have adapted to the Super League?
I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I think for me, it's always challenging for a coach in their first year. They're still learning about the players. They're learning about the competition. Super League is different to the NRL. And I know Willie Peters has had time over here in the past as a player. But I just think the way he's adapted to everything, and we spoke to Danny Maguire on our podcast at the beginning of the year, and he actually tipped Willie Peters to be one of the greatest coaches in Super League of all time. Wow. So from speaking to Danny, speaking to Mags on that, like I kind of knew that he would have success with the team. I think the big thing is with Willie Peters, like he wants to win silverware, doesn't he? He's not happy just making the Challenge Cup final. He was heartbroken, as he should be, of missing out on winning that. He's not going to just want to sneak into the top six. He's going to want to be at Old Trafford, and he's going to want to win. So I think that kind of belief that he has been able to instill in the players and in his team has really been noticeable this year, and he's got his players just... He's got them playing really well, hasn't he?
He has. Some of the rugby league we've enjoyed has been fantastic. But I think what Willie Peters has done really well, and not just Willie Peters, I suppose Danny Maggs and Brett Delaney, is the steeliness in the side. You know, it's been missing for a good number of years with the Robins. And I think Willie Peters, he's a hard operator. He demands a lot from the players, and you expect that from the NRL coaches. And I think, you know, some of the players have probably took a while to adapt to Willie's method and style of coaching, but now we're starting to see bear the fruits of that. And you only have to look at some of the performances we put in. The Huddersfield one, the last game, was a hard-fought victory. Rovers of old had probably rolled over and lost that one. So it has definitely been noticed how we've become a lot more resilient. And one player who's been key to that, Jenna, is Sean Kenny-Dowell, obviously captain of the Robins, retiring at the end of the season. He's going to take up a coaching role with the academy side once he does finish playing. But this could be his last game at Craven Park on Saturday night. So, you know, the fact the camera's there, it's going to be an emotional night for a lot of people, including Sean Kenny-Dowell.
Oh, I think, you know, I've spoken about him on this podcast before. He's one of my favourite players. He's not just influential out there on the pitch. He's amazing off it as well. Mm-hmm. The way that he can kind of get his teammates to rally, I think he is huge to their success. I'm so happy to hear that he's hanging around in that coaching role. I think it'll be emotional for him. I mean, he was obviously part of the whole Mossy Masoi era as well, and he was being one of his best friends. He was right behind that. So I think that he's not only had people fall in love with him, had fans fall in love with him because of what he has done, like on the pitch, but it's all the stuff that he does off it as well. As I said, he's one of my favourite players. He's been so good for them. Again this year, he, you know, if he goes down with a bit of a knock, he won't come off. He stays out there. He leads by example. In saying that, I think, you know, Ryan Hall as well has been outstanding. He's just, he's got to be up there with one of the players of the year at Hull KR for me. Mikey Lewis has been really good as well. Elliot Minchella, I mean, he's just, I feel like he, this season in particular, he's just kind of shown what he's capable of.
Yeah, I think Sean Wayne's going to have some interesting decisions to make when he picks that England squad for the Tonga Internationals. And Milian Minchella, I think he's put himself forward to be in the squad. And you know, you never know, do you? He might be putting himself into that number 13 position, but he's someone who's excelled. And we've seen a few players. Reece Kennedy, he got off to a bit of a slow start, but he's really grown. And of course, Brad Schneider, I mean, he's come over and on a loan period, he's going up back to the NRL with the Penrith Panthers. His family were actually over for the Huddersfield game. I don't know if they're still over here now for the Salford game. And we was lucky enough to be sat near him. And when they came over and had the picture took with Brad and the real family affair, they had all the Schneider on the back of the shirts. But he's someone who's really, really bought into the Robins. And it's great to see when these players do come over and do that. And I think, you know, going back to Sean Kenny Dowell, he's the type of captain who brings players like that into the fold, and players will want to sign and play for someone like Sean Kennedy Dowell when he's around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I haven't actually met Brad yet. He was on The Verdict on our show that we do on a Wednesday on Sky Sports News. We had him on before the Challenge Cup final as part of like a preview piece, but he was kind of there with John Wilkin. I was kind of sad when I heard him going back to the NRL and Penrith. I was half hoping that he might hang around and stay in Super League, because it's so good when we can attract players of that caliber. And then when they come over and they perform on the pitch as well, and they deliver as he has. So sad to see him go, but he's got a job ahead of him, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think people forget as well, he's still very young. He's the same age as Mikey Lewis.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy age for a halfback partnership, really. And I think that's maybe being forgotten by a few, that we have got two young players. And we've got Jordan Abdul as well returning. I mean, we've just seen the squad announced earlier today. You know, Willie Peters has got so many big decisions to make who plays on Saturday night. It's probably the hardest 17 to pick this season, Willie Peters. And you know, the Sky Sports cameras do love coming to Craven Park, don't they? And Saturday night, under the lights, nighttime kickoff, it is going to prove to be, I think, an exciting encounter. And you guys must be really excited to be coming over and filming it.
Yeah, it's one of our favourite grounds. The atmosphere, it's one of a kind. Craven Street, we love. I just get upset that I'm not allowed to go and get amongst it and enjoy it and have a few drinks. But, yeah, it's one of our favourite grounds, best atmosphere. You're right, Willie Peters said this week that it's going to be the toughest selection. But what do you do? I mean, you don't fix what's not broken. As you said, Schneider, Mikey Lewis in the halves have been great. Jack Walker at the back. Jordan Abdul, like, he came back last week, was his first game back, wasn't it? He played off the bench. You got to assume that that's probably where he'll start again this week. But yeah, I don't know. It's a hard one. He's got a big decision to make. But I think he sticks. Do you think he sticks and then has Abdul come off the bench?
Yeah, I mean, Abdul's a really funny one, because we, Elliot Minchella and James Batchelor missed out last week due to injury. Yeah, they're now back in the squad. They? And to be fair, them two, you know, I think Batchelor could easily be in the Super League team of the season. He's absolutely excelled for us. So it'd be very hard to keep them two out the side. Does Abdul then retain a place on the bench? I mean, there's a lot of head scratching going on here.
It's a good challenge for him to have, though. And we spoke to Paul Rowley this on Wednesday. He came on the Verdict, and he's struggled because there's a sickness that's gone through their squad. They haven't trained all week. They've been doing like a mini lockdown. So he said that tomorrow will in fact be the first time that they get together. So, I mean, for me, I'm tipping Hull KR, a big win for Hull KR. But then who knows, is Paul Rowley playing a bit of a game?
That's what I was just about to ask you. I mean, do you think that's a bit of smoke and mirrors and a bit diversion tactic? Because we've seen it before in the build-up to games like this, haven't we? Where coaches try and throw something out there like this.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do know that I think Brody Croft was under the weather last week, but he played anyway. So I do think that there is a bit of a sickness going through. But who knows? I mean, he did say that he's not making excuses. This is what's happening. But, yeah, look, it's why we love the game. It's the best part. The best part of the year. It's been a season unlike any other. Who knows who's gonna finish in that top six? I'm probably going to say Hull KR Salford. I said this at the start. I just don't think Warrington have it. I think they're done for the year. It's so good, you know, being a part of the Sky Sports team and having such an exciting top of the table. Like, it's unreal. It really is great. And it just brings out the best in players and in teams.
Yeah, you do wonder if that Golden Point defeat to Salford was maybe one blow too many for Warrington this season and where they'll end up. But we'll wrap up with some exciting news, Jen. I think all the games are kicking off next week at the same time. I think Sky's going to be trying to cover as much of what's going on. It's going to be an intriguing encounter. Obviously, we'll see what happens on Saturday. But next week, there's still so much to play for as well.
Yeah, there is. We haven't chosen yet which game the main cameras will be at, but just to tease a little bit, you can think a bit of like Soccer Saturday-esque. We're going to have people at every ground and we'll be doing updates. We'll have obviously the main game that we're showing, but we'll be able to kind of run in action from all the games. So we'll be across it. So let's just hope that this excitement continues into next week.
Guys, it's fair to say Jenna Brooks, Sky Sports, definitely love all Kingston Rovers. We'll always welcome them with open arms. I mean, Scott, Saturday's game, it's got all the ingredients, hasn't it, to be a real humdinger. It's prime time, Saturday night viewing. Probably bigger than the Generation game, this one. Probably get more viewers, but it's definitely going to be one for the neutral, and hopefully it's one where we'll come away with a victory. What do you make of the squad news today, Scott? We see Elliot Minchella, James Batchelor, Celso Skill, all coming back into the squad. Jimmy Kynos, he drops out through injury, which he sustained at Huddersfield. We see Louis Johnson miss out, and Rowan Milnes. They're out of the 21-man squad. I mean, we've probably got our strongest squad of the season available to us, or almost our strongest squad of the season available to us. I mean, how will you try and pick the 17 out of that one? Willie Peters got a tough job on his hands, hasn't he, Scott?
I'm glad I'm not Willie Peters, that's all I'll say. I was just sat with my lad tonight looking through the 21 and me and my lad are having a debate. Who misses out? Who, you know, there's going to be a couple of big-name players that don't make the 17 stroke, obviously 18th or the 19th man you can name now. But there's going to be three or four players that, top players as well, that don't get a game, you know, this weekend. I think maybe, this is just my opinion, I think Lewis Senior keeps his place on the wing, so Ryan won't be there. I think Yusuf Aydin will probably be another one that won't make the cut. But then the other two, I don't know. You know, as I mentioned earlier, it seems that Willie likes Dean Hadley. If Minnie comes back in, Hadley will probably go to the bench. If Jordan Abdul finds himself on the bench again, well, I think that probably sees Matty Stoughton miss out, you know, which has been quite harsh, I think, you know, on Matty, because he's been superb these last few weeks as well, you know. So I don't know. I'm just glad I'm not Willie Peters. I don't know where he goes with it.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, you'd assume, I mean, Kynos, obviously, he started at second row against Huddersfield. He's not in the squad. So you'd assume that's a Batchelor stepping straight back into that position. Minchella's performed so well at loose forward. You'd imagine he then takes Hadley's number 13 spot, what he had against Huddersfield, Hadley onto the bench. Jordan Abdul, I mean, Scott said about his utility value and what he can bring to the side, not just in the forwards, but in the halves if needed. So you'd imagine he keeps his bench spot. Sam Luckley, I think he's been a really consistent performer for the Robins. I suppose there's a question mark, isn't there, over whether Sewell comes back into the side. Willie Peters said in his press conference this week he's a week ahead of schedule. I suppose we're fortunate we're in a position where we're not desperate for him to play. We've got, you know, like Scott said, Matty Staunton has done pretty well over the last few weeks. He could retain his spot. If Sewell does get on in the squad, though, you'd imagine it would be Staunton who then misses out, which gives you a bench of, what, Abdul Litton, Luckley and Hadley. Well, no, because that don't work, does it? Because then with a so yeah, that means one of Hadley, Luckley probably misses out as well.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you don't want your bench light, do you? And most of the time, when he's had the options, he's gone big on the bench, hasn't he? So I think Steve's right, 100%. Scott's right in what he's saying. Sorry, I'm glad I'm not picking that team, because you can make cases for quite a lot of them players to either come back straight into the starting team or at least be on the bench. And you know, they've named Suasa so in the squad, it doesn't necessarily mean he'll make the bench. So if there's no, you know, immediate risk with him, I don't see him taking a risk with him. But if they do, Staunton could miss out. So there's a whole host of scenarios. You know, people are playing games with themselves, trying to guess who's playing, who's not playing. You know, so it's going to be a tough one, but that's what we want. We've not had that for a lot of years in these big games, have we? You know, over the years, it's sort of been, right, well, we'll have a decent 13 in the bench, mix up whoever makes the bench up. So it's good to be in that position, for sure. And, you know, it'll only make us stronger in the long run.
Yeah, Salford, they also named their squad. Brad Singleton, he misses out, of course, he's suspended. They appealed his suspension, but that failed. Callum Watkins and Oliver Partington, they come back into the 21-man squad. I mean, I don't know if you saw the game, Scott, against Warrington, Salford Warrington, Golden Point victory, 24 points to 20. It is such a crucial game. You only have to look at the league table. You've got Lee in fourth on 30 points. You've got Rovers in fifth on 28. You've got Warrington in sixth on 26. And then you've also got Salford on 26th in seventh place. Points difference, which is quite interesting at this stage. Lee are plus 80. Rovers are plus 35. Warrington are plus 85. And Salford are plus 5. So, you know, you imagine, you know, worst case scenario, we suffer a defeat on Saturday. Points difference and then going into that last game of the season could be a factor, but hopefully it doesn't come to that spot, because we know it's in our hands. We get a victory on Saturday and we are in the playoffs.
Yeah, without a doubt, it's down to us, isn't it? It's down to what we do on our own pitch in front of our own fans. We get our game right, we'll win the game. Simple as that. I didn't see all the Salford Warrington game. I saw the majority of it, and I thought it was a really poor game, to be honest. And if Salford play like that, I think we'll stick 30 foot on them. I really do. But you never know. No two weeks are alike, are they? And Salford are a decent side. You know, they're in the position in the league they are for a reason. They're only 2 points behind us. So we've had very similar seasons, really. I guess, I don't know how many injuries they've had over the season, but they're probably a bit like us in a way, that they'll win three, lose one, win two, then lose two. You know, there's not a lot of consistency in that middle of Super League, really, that all the teams are very much of a muchness. But I think because we've got our strongest team probably we've had been able to pick all season, I just think we'll have far too much for them on Saturday. I really do. On our own pitch, in front of our own fans, which I believe is heading for a sellout, so I'm hearing. You know, it's going to be absolutely a brilliant atmosphere, as you've said, Jono, under the lights as well, in front of the Sky Sports cameras. I think we'll have far too much from them. I really, really do. I can see us winning the game quite convincingly, to be honest.
Yeah, and Carl, I mean, Jenna Brooks, you mentioned it just a little bit earlier about Salford and apparently being struck down by a sickness bug and they're having to enter to lockdown measures so it doesn't affect too many of the players. Brodie Croft, he's supposed to have been ill for that Warrington game. Do you think it's all a bit of smoke and mirrors and trying to throw us off the scent a little bit in terms of trying to create a scenario where Salford seems to be the hard done by side, or do you reckon it's a load of bollocks?
No, to be fair, I think he's bent the truth. I think Jenna Brooks alluded to Rory Croft being ill, and to be honest, if he don't play, Salford don't play, do they? You know he's one of their best players by far, so I think, you know, I think they're using that to try and gain the underdog advantage on the telly, aren't they? You know, like Scott said, I don't see Rovers having an issue. I think they'll win quite convincingly, you know, because the Rovers know they'll win that game on Saturday, and the playoffs is done, innit. So I think that'll be more than enough encouragement for the lads, the coaches, the fans, everybody in the stadium to think, right, you know, let's crack on, get this win, and that's us in the playoffs. So I see it quite being, I won't say a really comfortable win, but I think it'll be, you know, two or three scores.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't share the same confidence. I just maybe we should, I don't know, but you just get that unnerving, I don't know. You, like you said, there's so many things in our favour, so many factors, and so many times this season actually where we have performed when we've needed to. I suppose the Challenge Cup final, maybe, you know, you could argue we didn't quite show up as well as we need to, but so in some of the big games this season, the Rovers have come out on top, and I think, Scott, like we said about the Huddersfield game, we found a way to win. We showed our resilience, we showed doggedness in defence, and, you know, on Saturday, we will have our best players probably out on the field, which gives us our best opportunity to get a victory. And this is a well-oiled, quite slick machine now. You know, you got some players who are coming to the fore at the back end. So in reality, yeah, we should be pretty confident. I suppose it's just that doubt's always at the back of your mind with the Robins, isn't it? And maybe as supporters, it's something we need to shake off, and we need to get away from this nervousness. And because you see the top team supporters, Wigan fans, Saints fans, they just have utter belief in the side come this season. And maybe we should start being like that.
I totally agree. I think that's where we need to go as fans. Looking at the Huddersfield game last week, as you said to Jenna, you know, a few seasons ago, with all that pressure, a better pressure that Huddersfield had at the end, would have probably conceded again and it'd have gone to golden point, or, you know, but we now know how to win a match. And I don't think we've been able to say that about Rovers for quite a number of seasons, but we know how to win a game. We know how to see a game out. And I think those games earlier in the season, you know, when we lost to Lee in the last minute, and when Wigan scored right at the end, and then they went on to win, you know, with that golden try. I think we've learned from that. We've learned from those games, and we now know how to win a game of rugby league. Having our best team on the pitch is without doubt a massive, massive advantage. You know, apart from Coote, who's retired, it's the best team that we could probably name on Saturday. You know, so I think we should, as fans, we should now start thinking the St. Helens, the Wigan way. We're a good side. We're a good team. And nobody wants to play Hull KR, believe me. Yeah. And if we do get to the playoffs, nobody will fancy playing us. Nobody.
Yeah. And it's another game where the supporters can really make a difference. And it's great to see so many of you tuning in on YouTube Live. Mark Brady, Foxy 100, Tiger Robin, Tiger 2000, Craig Esker at Bazaar, Dan Kraft. Dan will be on the podcast next week. Bazza, well, I don't know if you've had a drink, Bazza. Mad call, but would give Litton a week off because that lad has played every game this year, including for England. You won't be giving Jez Litton a day off on Saturday, would you, Kyle?
Definitely not, mate.
Yeah, he's rested at the end of the season.
To be fair, yeah, he can have his rest out of it in a few weeks' time, but to be fair, you know, it got us going on in that second half on Friday, didn't it? So, no, I'll have a pint of what that chap's drinking.
You asked Jim to go a week off.
Speaking of fans, Michael Morton, he's watching on YouTube. Great to meet you on Tuesday at the RSG Awards, Mike. Hope you're well. And speaking of the RSG Awards, there was some big news breaking from it, of course. Sean Kennedy-Dowell, he got the Player of the Year Award, which was the major announcement in terms of that. But an even bigger announcement was from Ads Cutler, who announced that the RSG was set to disband. I caught up with Ads early today, gave his reasoning for why the RSG is to be no more. It's a real heartfelt chat, and it's well worth you listening to. Good day since the RSG Awards evening at Craven Park. I mean, another fantastic occasion. Great to see all the players supporting it and a packed out room. Of course, there was a big announcement at the end of the ceremony. It wasn't probably the biggest announcement of the night. And it was that the RSG was no more, Raj. I mean, tell us a little bit more about why the RSG is disbanded.
Yeah, to be honest, on one thing, the feedback we've had or the response we've had has actually humbled me and Keith. we didn't realise how many people thought about us or was affected. Then this is players. We've had messages from players that we helped in the past, because there was a long list of players that you forgot about in a way, but they remember. And I'm on the ex-players WhatsApp, and the amount of messages we had, where normally you just see if an ex-player, check their answer, all right, how are you doing? But the actual heartfelt messages we had back, and to see Willie Peters actually understand what Rovers is about and the RSG, and obviously yourself and all live, etc. Very humbling. And to be honest, me and Keith had a little tear in our eyes yesterday, because I rang him up and he says, I feel quite emotional because you've been reading all these messages. So quite difficult, and then you sort of doubt things a little bit. But to be fair, it was right for us as a group, a committee. This committee's grown with the RSG. You know, 1997 is a long time ago. You know, it's half my life ago. Okay, so, and Keith and Leslie are a little bit older than me. They won't mind me saying. And the demographics has changed within the committee and within the club. And we was finding it harder and harder to sort of make it fresh and new and that. So, and to be fair, we know what we've been paying. We don't have to publicise what we've raised and everything anymore. But at the end of the day, we felt as though the club maybe are in a position now that they don't need the funding side of it. And with the board that they've got now, it's a lot easier to pay somebody's wage or to do something on players. So the funding wasn't used. We've changed our mission statement from originally team strengthening at any level, blah, 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 to sponsorship, to paying somebody staff wages, to helping the academy. So it's just changed dramatically. But what we set out to do has been achieved tenfold. We never imagined that here in 2023, Rovers back in Super League, and sustainable by the looks of it, and big gates, and all that's going on at the club. We was never the supporters club. We never wanted to be the supporters club. We was the Rovers supporters group, and that meant people that wanted to help the club to go forward, strengthen, and do all this stuff. So we was never a club. So we don't feel as though we should a club. But when you look at our membership now, when we peaked, we was just under, you know, 800,000 members. But back then, that was something like 50% of your support. Mm. Okay. We're down to 300 members now. And these are loyal, lovely people that back everything we do. But then when you look at pass holders and membership now with 6,000 or 7,000, a lot of the new supporters in the last 30 years don't know. They weren't here. The 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds were babbies. They weren't here, and they... So they don't quite buy into the RSG, even though they've heard about us and you can get a badge and all this lot. But it's not quite the same. And the club now, I've had to write a couple of names down here, and if you don't mind me saying a couple of people, I don't want to spend all night thinking people. I know what it's like at awards. But just looking at this, going back, this all set off from... and I'll name people, Fred Irons and Joan Rudd. Well, Joan's not with us now. I know Fred's somewhere in Hessel. Setting up a little meeting down at Sutton Way Club. And from that, Keith and I had a meeting with Wayne, Dave, and John Leeming was involved. Bless him, John's gone now. And from that, we set up a committee. We met the administrators. This has famously been said about David Thornhill and Edward Klemper. That they kept us in administration for so long to make sure that we'd survived. So a lot of thanks go to them. Then we set up a committee that had myself, Keith, Sue Hawkes, Andrew Copeland, Jake, Sandra Foster, Phil Aldershaw, Maggie, Dave. I could mention loads, and I apologise if I haven't, but at the end of the day, those committees, that we had committee meetings back in the day with 15 people. We're down to 4 now. And the four that we have do a lot of work. And we've tried to get people in a couple of times. And we've got loads of helpers and people who do bits. But so you know, if you want to do something properly and do it right, you need to be really, really committed. I mean, we've been fortunate that we found time in our jobs and stuff like that. And we're retired now. And people think you've got more time. But all four of us are doing different things as well now. So to me, I think when I spoke to you after on Thursday, I was quite pleased what you said to me, to be honest. You said to me, it's a good thing in a way, a celebration, because that meant there maybe isn't the need for what there was before. I'm not being down or anything. I think a bit of it like a wake. You go to a wake and you can either be real sad and disappointed or anything, or you can celebrate. And I think we should celebrate what Rovers fans and what the club have achieved over the years. So to me, it's not, people were a little bit surprised, but we have been thinking about it for a while. And obviously, when do you do it? When do you say it? When's the best time? There's never a good time to stop doing something. But we've decided it's right for the committee. Sean Kenny Dowd the other night, when they said to him, why are you playing on for 2 years? Because he says, I'm doing it in me. It's me. I'm making the decision. It's right for me. And as a committee, it's right for the committee. Now then, when we look at the club now, we were hoping with the supporters council. I know they've been there to ask supporters to go. That's going to be the connection for supporters to send emails to the club, make suggestions, how to improve things, etc. And I know Andrea from our group's the chair of that, and she's really going to push things. If you look at events, so it wasn't just about membership and money, but that's part of it. That was quite a big part. It was events. But if you look at what we've done in the past and what we do, I mean, we used to have a fun day, but, I mean, that took a lot of planning, a lot of doing, and it was great. It was fantastic at Apollo. But then the club are doing fun days now, so that should be pushed. Fans forums, the club can do them. I do mean like little race stools, but I'm doing a race stool with the ex-players. And if we raise a bit of money from there, from my side of it, that'll go back to the club. So I ain't going to stop. We'll do a lot of other stuff, but we felt we've run the course. We've achieved what we wanted to do massively. And at the end of the day, it is, we have been volunteers. You know, we've never been paid. We've paid our way. You know, we bought the tickets. It's probably cost us more than anybody else in the world. People don't realise. Part of the remit at the beginning, the RSG, is that nobody got a free ticket for anything. So that way we could turn on and say, it cost me a fortune. When you got four kids and grandkids, who buys all the tickets? I don't. You know, oh, we'll come if you pay. I still pay for my lad's pass, and he's 20 bloody three. Do you know what I mean? So, and my daughters, and then they expect you to get them away tickets as well. You know, so there's all that to it. But I just think that the club now has definitely evolved to a different animal. And I'm not saying we're not needed. It's just the felt that it was getting harder and harder to do what any more than what we was doing. And why was we doing it in the end? You know, Paula Cullen, lovely lady. I actually spoke to a parent last night at the academy game at Rovers, and they did well last night, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And he said, my son, I won't say names, but my son went to her and she helped him, and he didn't want to come to us. He didn't want to go. So Paula Cullen's doing a fantastic job there, and we have been contributing towards that. But we now hope that the club will take that on and sort hairs out. I mean, there's plenty of people to get paid at the club, isn't there, now? So at the end of the day, the club, if you're that important there, they should be paying. So if you take that away from what we give to the club, the academy's plodding on quite well. So it's totally different to what we was initially doing. So, yeah, I'm happy. I mean, they can, with the membership now, and we struggle to contact people. I know it sounds silly. I know you're doing the Zoom and everything and this, but we've only just in the last year sort of set up my emails.
No, the things we did in the past and the reasons aren't there as much now. So we was never, you know, we never intended to go on this long, but we felt every year that we had to do it. But it was getting harder and harder. So it's the right things for us, and it's right for everybody else. But as supporters, a lot of people have come up to us now and said they're frightened that they'll lose any connection. That's between supporters and the club. So that's affected me and Keith. Me and Keith had a little chat today. I've been to see him. And on that saying, from what Willie Peters has said, from what board people have said, what players have said, the club must keep up this connection. Now, in my eyes, they should have a Player of the Year award, similar to what he had the other night. but an affordable one. Because obviously the main one is for business and sponsors, which the average punter can't afford to go to. So they might not be able to do it as cheap as this, but don't get silly and just do one, because people want it. They want to see the players. Use Craven Street and at least two or three times a year, allow the supporters to meet the players. So that's so important. And that's part of it. I know they do it at the end of games, but we don't want to lose that connection. And we shouldn't do. The club should want it. They can contact every member just by a click of a button and say, this is happening. They can sell a ticket. They've got the staff to do things that we've been doing, and they sort of can do it now. Are you with me? Well, I mean, going back to when I mentioned John Lehman there, there was maybe three or four staff, and it was all voluntary. And you know, it just got harder, and it was, harder and harder for the club. But as we've evolved now, it's you know, I don't know some of the people at the club now because they have got quite a few staff. But we've had a really good relationship, and none of this has got anything to do with anything apart from us deciding to do it on our own terms. And it's right for us. But yeah. Saying that, we've had doubts over the last couple of days but that's because of the response from people, and it's quite emotional. But we're not just going to do it on a minute. We'll carry on. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to still do stuff that I do, because I do a lot of stuff away from the RSG. A lot of people think it's RSG, but it's not. It's been my own stuff for years, from my trips and Wembleys and all stuff like that. Keith and I are going to do a little bit more with the ex-players and promote that in a way. I'll obviously, if there's a testimonial pops up, I'll be doing that. I'm doing Craigie's at the minute, as it's been advertised. So I'll always help out, and I'll be out and about doing stuff. So not a lot's going to change, but obviously it's time. It's the right time for us.
I think Adj and Keith and all the other committee members over the last, you know what, 26 years, I think you all deserve the credit that you're getting, and you shouldn't be surprised that you are getting all this credit, Adj, because you've done a fantastic job. And like I said to you at the award ceremony, you know, really, this is a success. The fact that the club's got itself into a position where, you know, of course they'll welcome any donation that comes their way, but it's probably not needed now. And to be in that position from where we was, in 1997, who could have foreseen that?
Yeah. No, oh, definitely. I mean, when you look at the clubs that have basically fallen by the wayside, your Widnes and your Bradfords and Oldhams and all these other clubs, we was in the wrong place at the wrong time in administration and Super League performing. You know, you had Sheffield Eagles and Paris Saint-Germain, and we should have been there at the beginning, and we missed out.
Yeah,
through Wakefield at the time, I think. They got in where we didn't. And then, obviously, as it's got on, and when you get relegated, it's so hard to get out, as all these championship teams are finding. You know, your Featherstone. I want Featherstone to get back up. I'd love to see Featherstone there, but they might bottle it, mightn't they, in the big games. We'll see what happens. But, you know, it's all right saying expand the game to Toulouse and Catalan, but you've still got the heartland here, haven't you? You've got some big clubs there, and they're just struggling. You know, Bradford gone into administration, what was it, three or four times? You know, being bailed out by the council. I know we had a little bit of help off the council and bits and bobs, but I tell you what, we've sold it well, haven't we? Paul Aitken sold it well to these people, you know, and hopefully, I'm hoping to get the pen and paper out and with a checkbook. I think a lot of Rover supporters are now thinking, we've done our overseas quota, you know, now we're looking at signing English, maybe, British players now, marquee signings. And I'm hoping that Rovers in the next year or so will be up there with the map, because that's the way you've got to go to that. Doing that, I'm really excited about it. So, yeah, no, it's good. I'm just going to Royal Stocks just ringing me, but I'm just going to decline Royal Stocks. Sorry, Roy.
Well, there we have it, gents. Cut off by Roy Oldstock. Don't make it up, could you? I mean, Scott, the work the RSG have done, Keith Lyon, Adj Cutler, all the committee members over the years, I mean, they've left a fantastic legacy. And I know it's come out of the blue, the announcement, but I suppose when you look at it in the cold light of day, it's probably the right time. The club's in a different place now. the committee members aren't getting any younger. There's no fresh blood coming through. The membership numbers have sort of dwindled a little bit. And you know, they probably do deserve a break after putting so much time and effort into supporting our club for the last, what, 26 years?
Yeah, I think they do. I just echo what I just said there. I think a lot of fans are worried about that connection with the club still. Mm. I think the RSG being an independent body away from the club, they were the link between the fans and the club. I know there's the supporters committee now and they have the stand representatives, but ultimately that committee is part of the club, really, something that the club has put together, whereas the RSG was an independent, standalone sort of association. So I think that, I just thought what Adj says there, you know, that link with the fans and the club does continue. It's massively important that that happens, because I think what Hull KR have with the fans is something unique, something that I've never seen any other club have. You know, that link between, you know, management and fans and players is something that you know, I've never witnessed at any other club. I might be wrong. Maybe other clubs do have these sort of, you know, groups and people who do link the club with the fans, but Hull KR is certainly unique. What I will say, I've known Adj and Keith from probably being about 8-9 years old, when Adj used to take the old Voyager coaches that used to run from Crown back in the day. He used to let me on as a little lad. I wasn't even an adult, but he used to let me on as a little lad to go to all these away games. So Adj has been a good mate of mine over these years, as has Keith and all the other, many other people who have been involved with the RSG. And what I will say, Adj spoke there about Edward Klemke and David Thornhill, who kept us in administration a really, really long time, you know, to find the correct buyer and, you know, the so-off Tim Wilby and stuff like that, and David Lloyd. But what I will say, and I mean this 100%, without Adj Cutler, without Keith Lyon, and all those other committee members, there wouldn't be a Hull KR today. There would not be a Hull KR today. I know you've got to bring administration in, you know, and Edward Klemke got some wonderful, wonderful raps for what he did for the club, which was fantastic. I mean, Edward sadly passed away a few years ago. Great guy. And he only ever had Hulkingston Rovers at heart. But I honestly think that without the RSG and the money that they put into the club and the money that they raised to sign players and pay for flights or pay for accommodation, whatever it might be, without the RSG and without people like Adj Cutler and Keith Lyon and the rest of the committee, you wouldn't have a Hull KR today. I honestly believe that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some younger fans, maybe newer fans, so Robins probably don't understand or appreciate how much the RSG have done. And it's not their fault, because you only know what you know, don't you? And you know, I don't think it's through ignorance or anything like that. So it'd be great to see the club if they could put out some tribute and tribute to Keith and Adj and all the other committee members to say thank you for their efforts. I mean, even recently, there was buying the academy set up T-shirts to help them with the tackling, and you know, and we'll probably never know how much money was raised and put into the club, and we probably don't need to know, because it's not necessarily about the figure, but it's about the effort, it's about the love for the club, and yeah, hopefully, Carl, you know, the club will take on board some of the events that the RSG did organise. I mean, the Player of the Year one's a great example, wasn't it? I mean, that room was full on Tuesday. I think it was on about 300 to 400 people there. The official club Player of the Year awards is what, over 100 quid a ticket. You know, the man in the East Stand, that pretty much prices them out of being able to attend, and we want to be increasing our opportunity to be interacting with the players, not decreasing our opportunities, because that is something that's unique about our great club, is the connection between players and fans. So hopefully, Carl, the club will have some things in the pipeline. I mean, it's still early days, isn't it? It's only a couple of days since the news broke that the RSG would be disbanding. But again, you know, it came out of the blue for us on Tuesday, didn't it, when Adj came up on stage and he delivered that news, and there was almost a hush in the room, because there's a lot of people who didn't know what was happening. And Willie Peters paid tribute to the RSG in this week's press conference, and hopefully there's more tributes to come. I don't know what, because it's still quite raw. I don't know how you mark such an achievement, and also what you'd say is probably Adj, Keith, they probably don't want the tribute. They're almost happy doing what they've done, and now just sit back in the background a little bit more. Although I don't think Adj will ever be in the background, do you, Carl?
No, I think, like you say, he's the group of committee members, Adj and all those guys, I think they've only got one thing at heart, and that's Hulkingston Rovers, isn't it? You know, they sing a lot of songs about Rovers till I die. Well, they'll be the guys that will be there more than anybody else. So I don't think thousands, millions of tributes would, you know, make any difference whatsoever. They'd do the same if they had the time over, wouldn't they? That type of people, that type of committee. And I think this thing with the connection and the club, I think it will stay. I think the club are in a good spot commercially. I think they need the fans' revenue. And I think by getting that, you know, it's great going and paying for your tickets, your shirts, and spending a load of money in the shop, and they're getting the results on the field. But the working public want that little bit of connection as well. So you'd like to think the amount of money that, you know, supporters spend will get a little something back from that, not just what you see on the field. So, but yeah, but going back to the RSG and them guys, you know, Scott pretty much said what I was going to say, you know, early on. But let's be honest, they made it happen, didn't they? And I think that's the best. I think that's the best thing you can say. They made it happen. They got us out that hole, and they made it happen. So, you know, to where we are today. So you can't credit them enough. You can't thank them enough. And those guys, you know, we saw on the other night, Chris, didn't we, at the awards, when we went over and spoke to Adj at the end. It was clamming up, and obviously so, because he's put, like you said in the podcast earlier, He's given half of his life to Kingston Rovers and the RSG. So what we say as supporters and fellow friends to Adj in the committee, I don't think will ever be enough. And you can't thank those guys enough. No matter how many times you'd say it, you know. And you'd like to think that, you know, the club would do some tribute or maybe some form of event for those guys. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be fireworks and all the rest of it. And because them guys are like that, they're old school. You know, they'd like a pat on the back and a thank you as much as all the frills and spills. So, yeah, I think the club will do something to recognise, you know, the time and the effort they're putting to keeping the club afloat and obviously moving it forward. So, for me, it's those guys who made it happen.
Yeah, 100%. Right, that's it. Let's hope when we're talking in future podcasts, we're talking about Old Kingston Rovers securing a playoff spot come, half past nine Saturday evening, and we can enjoy a playoff campaign. Scott, Carl, thank you so much for joining us on the Red Robin Podcast Weekly. If you're going to the game on Saturday, which I'm sure you are, make sure you are loud, make sure you are proud, and make sure you play your part in backing the boys to victory. Huge thank you to all the listeners on the podcast and all the viewers on YouTube. But for now, live, love, laugh, and be happy.